で、そこで今回、これまでの話は、どっちかというと UCIMC という傘の中、元でいろんな活動が展開してますという、その中にか関わってたところが連携しながらいろいろ展開してますっていう話なんですが、次、お届けしようと思うのは、以前、リュウさんと話した UC2B、UCIMC が、実は、大学と、イリノイ大学と、行政と展開しながら、ビッグブロードバンドの活動、どうやって、地域全体でインターネットがより自由に使えるようになるか、そういう、仕組みを、情報インフラ整備の、仕組みを作っていくか、そういったことにも深く関わっているという話をしました。そこでダニエルさんにも以前はるかの章で UC2B について話したんだけど、実は UC2B のプロジェクトにはあんまりUCIMC のことに触れてない部分もありますけど、結構深くそのブロードバンドのプロジェクトにも関わってますね。でもその前に CU ワイヤレスプロジェクト、これもこれ自体は UCIMC が始めたものだし、なんか、また UC2B とは違うけれども、非常に重要な活動だと思うんですけど、これは何ですか？ちょっといろいろ説明していただけますか？っていうところから、次のトークは始まっています。では、これちょっと長いですけど、聞いていただいて、それから、リュウタさんにちょっと、日本語で、分かりやすく解説も含めてちょっと説明していただきたいと思います。まず聞いていただきたいと思います。どうぞ。
On the Harukana show, we talked CU2B.
Yeah,
UC2B.
UC2B, yeah.
Because we are very interested in UCIMC try to make information structure to, among the area.UC internet system, and also we didn't refer to much because I didn't have many information about CU Wing.
Yes, CU Wireless, yeah.
Wireless project. You already started such kind of infrastructure to make. That's very interesting. So why, how you started such kind of local area information foundation you try to make, what was the purpose, and at that time, how do you connect the university and your activity,
yeah.
grassroots activity? Mm-hmm. It is very extraordinary example, I think.
I could speak, let me start about talking about CU Wireless because it was the first. So...When we started the Independent Media Center in an old print shop that we rented on Main Street, the internet was new. There was really no Wi-Fi. So if you wanted to connect, you plugged into the wall, you know. And it was very expensive. Internet was expensive. And we, what we did actually here in my house, I didn't have internet from one of the corporations for a long time.Because what happened is we created the IMC, we brought the internet in there, and then we shared it using rooftop antennas that we built ourselves. And I think one of the things people forget is that these technologies, we can build them with our own hands. Like right now, you know, we have more and more such situations where our power goes out or our internet goes out because of climate change. And so we have folks at the IMC right now developing solar-powered wireless nodes that could be used to network a community to be in communication with each other. When the whole infrastructure goes down, we could communicate. So what we did is we started a group. This is back in 2000, called CU Wireless. And they used to actually tinker in my basement. The whole basement was computer junk here. And they figured out how to beam an internet. Say you brought the internet in from outside. They used a Pringles can, like a potato chip can, that has like an aluminum foil on the inside. And they used it as a cantenna. So it's a can, but it's also an antenna to beam a signal from here to the house next door. And we were able to beam and make a wireless connection with a piece of trash, a Pringles can, right? And so we were experimenting, the group of technologists was experimenting with how we could make our own wireless mesh network, where if one piece, it's not actually a hub and spoke model, but it was a mesh network, where if one piece goes down, the mesh is self-healing, and we can continue to communicate. So CU Wireless was born. The IMC, working with technologists like Dave Young and kind of entrepreneurs like Sasha Meinrath, project managers, that group of the IMC created the first mesh network, open source, totally free open source wireless network. It was used in South Africa. It was used in southwest of the United States. It was used to connect little towns like Homer down the street. And it was used in our downtown. And it was the first Wi-Fi network that our library used, was our CU Wireless network. And then downtown installed wireless all through downtown using this mesh network system. So we had done all of these experiments, and we got some interest from funders, and through the university, there was a collaboration between the IMC and the university to bring in some funding to scale up community wireless and to build out that infrastructure. And so after that, when Obama became president, and he was going to, his administration wanted to do a lot of investment in internet access throughout the country, because there was not only the digital divide, but also the class and race divides and rural, urban, rich, poor. All of these divides were exacerbated by a lack of access for some people. So he put out, hundreds of millions of dollars. And through a competitive process, we applied for those dollars. We applied for both the digital navigation piece and the hard wires under the ground. And we got the grant for the hard wires under the ground through the university. And they built out. But the IMC was really organized the conversations around that network. And we talked about what is it that we want to see, you know, what kind of programming we'd like to make happen. And we included that in the proposal. So we saw the ways in which we've, so let me zoom out. In the contradiction that exists between capitalism and democracy, media and technology, when employed by capitalism, push logics of superiority for control and domination. When democratic movements like in the indie media use media and technology, we are using it guided by the logics of inclusion. And that media and technology is for liberation and the furtherance of participation. So we're living in an era where our movement was really pushing democratic media, and the corporate powers was really pushing media and technology for control. And right now is a time where it feels like they have kind of eclipsed our work. In fact, in sometimes they've even taken the work of the democratic movements, like Twitter was built off of the base of code that indie media technologists created, right? And it was kind of, and this is what capitalism does, is it takes what it likes and it absorbs it and co-opts it. And uses it for its own purposes. So we're living at a time where it's hard to remember. I mean, I was part of a movement where we were super optimistic that media and technology would be these, could be, and I think they can be, these tools of empowerment and participation. And we are living at a time where we need to make that so. You know, and we need to protect our work against being co-opted and turned into Twitter and turned into, you know, indie media became social media, right? And now social media is being used to divide us. But indie media was a technology to bring us together. So we have to wrest media and technology away from the logics of superiority and the mechanisms of domination. That is what's needed now.
But how did you get such kind of idea that wireless is very high technique and high skill? So it is not easy for usual activists to think about how do we make the systems wireless locally. So did you, at that time, there some people was there in the UCIMC to make such kind of...
The IMC was made of, I think we were kind of teachers, social workers, artists. You know, the activism grew out of a necessity to respond to mechanisms of control and domination. And so, for example, after I graduated with a degree in political science, and I have a background in political philosophy and art, I was looking for how to basically fund my organizing. How do I pay for my bills? And so I became part of a technology cooperative, because this was a time when there were so many high-tech jobs. Everyone was trying to build websites. There wasn't enough labor, and so many of us were pulled into that work, which was well-paying, and so we were part of a company that was owned by the workers called On the Job Consulting. And On the Job Consulting was started by Siegfried Gold and Lori Gold, and the vision was high-paying part-time work for artists and activists. So we were already technologists, doing the work for the university, nonprofits, governments, some businesses. We were building websites already, and we were using technology to help others communicate. And then we were deeply interested in how the technologies that we were learning how to create, how could they advance participation and connection. And that's where the Community Wireless Project came from, is not everybody, I mean, this was back when most of the people in Champaign-Urbana did not have internet coming to their home. They had to go to the library, or they were had connected to the university. But we have all these workers in the community who are not connected to the university. How do they have access to the internet? And we knew that the media was now owned by five big giant corporations. So how are ordinary workers and people going to get information about what's happening in the world if there's only five big news corporations and they are investing in bombs and war? They're not going to hear about the anti-war movement if the same corporations are making money off of the war. That's a real problem. So we wanted to expand internet access for workers, working people. And how do you do that? You do it through wireless, because wired is still very expensive. You have to dig holes in the ground to do it. So wireless was this affordable way for us to expand internet access so that people could start making, consuming and making grassroots and democratic media. And we wouldn't, have an audience outside of the elite university. We wouldn't really have an audience in our community without that. And so that's why we started to build Community Wireless.
Yeah, that's for me, very important story about to know why the UCIMC. And the event also, you didn't refer much about such kind of infrastructure, network infrastructure. But it's a... Indeed, you contribute to people for the daily life. And at the CU, we are wireless project, and UC to be a little different. The CU few wireless projects for each house. They set up some CAN mm-hmm. and put the good internet. But UC2B is more corporate with company or the internet company and the university like mm-hmm. that. The more big project means involved in the capitalism.
Yeah, I mean, originally, I just want to point out, UC2B was owned by the cities. It was public. The cities chose to sell it to a private corporation because they felt that that would make it build out faster. And we were very upset at the IMC. We were like, we did not do all of this free work to build up all this goodwill. You never said, they never said, the university and the cities, oh, we're going to sell it. We're going to build it and then we're going to sell it. That was never the intention. That was not shared. So I was very upset for a long time with the university and with the cities who basically took something that could have been our public internet system. And they were like, oh, we don't know how to run internet. But well, you run public works. You put roads on the ground. You know, you respond to fires. You respond to calls for service from the police. There's no reason why the cities cannot also operate utilities. Cities operate utilities all over the United States. They do power. They do water. Yeah. We have municipal sewer here. So I don't know. You know, that was very disappointing to me. It did not. Now, I will say, the group that ended up buying it is a small business called i3 Broadband. And frankly, I think they've done a really good job. And they have built it out. They're very responsive. They're more affordable than AT&T and Comcast. They haven't really yet, they have not sold to some big mega corporation. It's still a small business. And so maybe the cities were right that that was the best way to do it. But I wish they had been more transparent about it. And what I don't want is that Comcast or AT&T comes and buys you i3 and just makes them another extension of them. Then all of a sudden we've lost our alternative. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, so now I realize for me the CU wireless is more roots of your activity. I think. Mm-hmm. And so this idea more grassroots so that you can cooperate with other countries mm-hmm. globally mm-hmm. because that the system is more easier for people to use
yeah.
to so different to Africa, different to
yes.
place. So that you could connect locally with, through the CU,
yeah.
CU wireless. But
yeah.
it is not easy to realize. Probably people don't write about that much. More, if I check the internet, it's just UC2B.
Yeah.
But not easy to know about the CU wireless.
Yes.
So,
yeah, it's also CU wireless is not being developed anymore. So at some point, it... You know, the folks who were doing, in many ways, they were doing free work. Dave Young was doing a lot of programming. Josh King, they were doing this work. And it, you know, and there wasn't additional investment to support ongoing. So CU Wireless kind of had its time and it's now closed. Whereas UC2B has become i3 Broadband. And it really is, it has connected many, many people to internet in this community, especially in neighborhoods that oftentimes were disconnected. And so and it continues to connect people. So the way it works is that if there's parts of the city that are still not connected, so in low-income census tracts, all of those census tracts were connected. In higher-income census tracts, once enough people on a block say, yes, I want it, so I think it's like 50%, then they will bring the internet to that block and then everyone has the access. If they, you know, you have to pay for it. But my internet is like $60 a month for really high,
60.
And it was 110 with like AT&T. Mm-hmm. So, and I could go less than that. Like, if I could income qualify and I could have a lower bill if I wanted. Mm-hmm. But I chose to have a, you know, like you have different tiers, so.
So people.
It's about half the price.
Public library to use the internet.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And the library is connected through UCTB.
Yeah, so the public service is also very, very important mm-hmm. for people's life. But you try to connect people to people